We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app on a Thursday. Good news, breaking news, about 3 o'clock, we got our phones back. So we've been taking phone calls today. That's been nice.
It was at 3:07.
We write that down. A day that will live in infamy. 3:07, May 28, 2020. Scheman and Shepherd got their phones back after a 10-day hiatus, so we're happy about that. We will take some more phone calls. Coming up in a moment, though, we will talk with our friend Rick Horro, our sports business guru. Lots going on with all the sports.
There is. Guess what Jim Harbaugh just said about 45 minutes ago over on NBC Sports Network on Rich Eisen's show?
Is it about Michigan not coming back while everybody
else
does?
Now, I hope the president of the institution was listening. Jim Harbaugh, head coach of Michigan, said, quote, "It looks like mandatory workouts for football players will begin July 1st.
Okay.
A month after, voluntary workouts can start on June 1st.
Okay. That's good. But the president was like thinking we're in shutdown mode. Is that?
Said, no, unless we get fans in the stands, we're not playing, which is caca.
Yeah. Well, Jim Harbaugh is the de facto president of the university.
Well, of course.
Until he is asked to leave.
Yeah.
You can't beat Ohio State. But then again, if you don't play Ohio State because no games, it's a whole other thing. Is that game at Ohio State this year? It is, right? It was at the Big House last year, I think. So. All right.
Now this track is 5 consecutive losses, each loss greater than the other.
And it was. All right. Enough about that. Let's welcome Rick Horro to the program, our sports business guru. Rick, how are you today, sir?
Hey, Rick.
I lost. After the match, which was in a monsoon, and I live close, there were about.
Did you sneak on?
8 inches. No, I tried to, but I wouldn't get on there. But I came back, and there were about 8 inches of water in my driveway. And so there were, my daughter and I have an ongoing thing in the last 10 years. She thinks there are these mysterious fish that live at the bottom of the pond.
Yes.
But the next morning, there were fish swimming in my driveway, literally. And there were 6 of them.
Yeah.
And I named the catfish Giannis. Shula is having a little trouble getting around, but I did name him Shula. Nomar, LeBron. Garcia Pera, and then there was a Peter who decided to go back in the pond the wrong way. So we ought to do a poll. I'm either going to name him Lance or Pete or Pete Rose. Which one? I don't know yet. We haven't decided.
Go Lance. Lance is more topical.
Lance is big now.
Lance is big.
Lance
all
is
of
topical.
A sudden.
Yeah. Lance is topical, and I saw him kind of with a needle in his back, riding a bike, so I assume he's all right.
That's right. That sounds good. A lot of interesting stuff in the news going on here. I want to get your opinion on Major League Baseball and the Players Association. Apparently, they're willing to counter proposal to the owners. Hey, we'll even play more games. We'll play 100 instead of 82, but you're not cutting our salaries anymore. Final deal. And are the owners going to have to take it or leave it at this point?
I don't know of any final deal that's a final deal just because people say it's a final deal. If it's a final deal and you knew it was a final deal, then it would have been a final deal before, but it's not a final deal.
Okay.
If that's not confusing, and the bottom line of all of this is the issue is not playing more games as much as the philosophical issue of the owners own the house, they own the office, they're trying to open the office, that takes a lot of expenses. Do you take them off the top, and then do you divide what's left equally, knowing the television still is better than nothing? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the players are saying, hey, we promised something in March. You know, stick to what you said. Let me clue you in. Any promise that was made in any context in March, on anything, you got to think the world's changed since March. So, look, I'm not an owner's apologist, but it would be great that they're going back and forth. And I don't really think that owners are going to say, well, it's final, so let's shut it down. I think we're in a public phase of negotiation, which is not good, but it's better than not talking at all.
Yeah,
I don't know how well you know Scott Boras. I'm sure you've probably met him. I think I've met him a couple times here and there at different events. But Trevor Bauer, great pitcher for, you know, the Reds and other teams. When he tweets out this, hearing a lot of rumors about a certain player agent meddling in MLBPA affairs, if true, and at this point, these are only rumors, I have one thing to say, Scott Boras, he says this, represent your clients however you want to, but keep your damn personal agenda out of union business. Now, I know he's got $1.6 billion tied up in player contracts, of which he's going to get at least 10%. But where do you stand on this? You're an attorney, obviously. You know these situations and ever. Is Scott Boras, you know, if they don't get paid, he didn't get paid, right? So where do you stand on all this and also what Trevor Bauer had to rebut?
Every agent is entitled to represent his client. The problem is when it gets beyond his client. And, you know, if the issues were absolutely aligned, then you wouldn't need the heads of the players associations with each club, and then Tony Clark, you know, who runs the players association generally, like Don Fear did before and before and before. They're a really good union. That union has been strong. I think the issue right now, frankly, is these are dire circumstances. We've got significant money coming in 2022 with a new TV contract. Let's not screw it up in the meantime. And frankly, we're going to take equal money on the bottom, just let us open our businesses.
Yeah.
And so I do totally agree with Trevor Bauer, but I also totally agree with any player, and hopefully the Players Association, who is representing the players fairly equally. You know, the problem is the Players Association has a number, a lot more players who are making minimums or smaller salaries than the superstars. But the superstars are making a lot of money. That's the Scott Boras.
65%. So more than the NFL.
Well, and it's two. Yeah. By the way, it's two different. It's you know, and it's two different representations. As you know, the NFL cut their deal long term, thankfully, before the virus hit in March, and they get players get 47% of the DGR, just a designated gross revenue this year, and 48% next year. Mm. So it is what it is. They've already defined where it goes in what bucket. If you have crowds, it's 38% more, which is a lot of money. It's some say it'll be about $4.5 to $5 billion more if it's crowds, but it is what it is. It's the health representative and officials issue. It's not the owners and it's not the players in football. You're either going to have crowds or you're not. And if you're not, you're going to take a haircut. The players are going to get 47% of that haircut and the owners 53%, and that's it. I wish it was that simple in baseball.
Rick Horro is with us. Now, Rick, while baseball players seem to be balking at coming back or how they want to come back, the NBA and the NHL seems a lot different. It seems like players are anxious to come back. They want to finish this off. Ironically, they've already been paid, basically, for the most part, unlike baseball players. So it'd be real easy for a basketball player to say, I already got my money. I don't want to put myself at risk. Or hey, I am going to do this. I want to try and win a championship. Why do you think baseball players are appearing much different than, say, the attitude of basketball and hockey players at this point?
Well, that's a good example. They didn't get their money yet, and you hit it on the head. Usually, you know, you're two for two is like a cause for Sheeman. Two for two is a cause for international celebration. By the way, so congratulations. But you know, when you think about it, you happen to be absolutely right. Gary Bettman, by the way, what a master! I was talking to people in Chicago today, and they're ecstatic because the Blackhawks are in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, they may be in it for only three games, but that doesn't really matter. He has his whole structure done. The players basically are effectively buying into the structure, except for two things. A, you don't know where the games are going to be, and B, you don't know when they start. Small details, but those are not circumstances that Gary Bettman can control. In the meantime, he has a great, very well-thought-out process, and the NBA, by next week, will have done the same thing.
No, absolutely. And again, just getting back to baseball real quick, and the other thing that's happened today, which is just a damn shame, is that you know, hundreds of minor league players today were cut, lost their jobs, guys only making $400 a week, and hundreds more are going to be released over the next week, and upward of 1,000 players continue their baseball careers. Maybe
I think we just lost them. I think we just lost
them. Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think we were blinking. No, it wasn't you. Rick, go ahead and try and call back that number. I don't think this is related to the problems we've had over the last 10 days. God, I hope not. We'll get him back on. I see Rick's talking to him already. Let's try this again.
Okay.
All righty. Rick, can you hear us?
Listen, you got to feed the hamster. All right, Shepard, you can't keep eating the hamster food before the hamster wants it, okay? I'm sorry, you just can't do it. And I was really articulate. I don't know if you heard it, but I'm not repeating, so you're just going to have to suck it up.
No, you were great. You were great.
Thank you.
I believe Pete was following up with a minor league baseball question.
Well, I was saying about how hundreds lost their jobs today, and over 1,000 players going to see their baseball careers maybe end. John J. Fisher started the other day with Oakland. Now, I know some teams are still going to pay some players, but minor leaguers, but that's a shame when, you know, guys making $400 a week in A-ball and double A, even maybe even, but it's terrible. And I don't know what happens if they're not playing. The team maintains their rights. I don't know how any of that stuff really works. I'm assuming they do, but they don't have a job.
It's a very complicated situation, not the least of which because minor league baseball is in the middle of a negotiation for the next player development agreement, which will hopefully last for the next 10 years, because this one expires at the end of this season, quote-unquote season. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And then it's not that simple just to say you're not going to pay the players. There are 160 minor league teams all over the country. You know, the Miracle and a whole bunch of teams in the Florida State League who have stadiums to deal with. You know, these are not just spring training stadiums, but they're part of the payment on stadiums, the debt service, the leases. You know, what are you going to do with those? Baseball and minor league represent all of Middle America, and you can't just say we're going to let it die. It's not over. Believe me, there's a lot of discussion that needs to happen.
Rick, back to what we were talking about at the beginning with the match, Tiger, Phil, Peyton, Tom Brady, a huge success. I was worried it was going to get washed out, as you alluded to, but it didn't. They raised $20 million. A lot of good came out of this. I echo Phil's comments. I would like to see this done every year. We started spitballing the other day. Who would make a good pair again? We'd love to get Michael Jordan involved in this at some time. But do you see this as being an annual affair? And who would you like to maybe see the next couple paired up with Tiger and Phil?
Well, let me tell you, I had a lot of media stuff thrown at me today about how it's not fair to have Phil and Tiger dominate the brand. Yeah, it is. You know, this has been their deal.
Yeah.
And it's been Phil's deal. And they've done this. And they're the entrepreneurs. They set this business deal up, and so they also played in a monsoon.
Yeah.
And three of the four guys played really well, and all of them were comic relief.
Right.
Shepard, I can't tell you how many people from your neck of the woods called me and said, you can keep Brady. Yeah, you know, listen, it's a lot different with Brady on a monsoon 150 yards out than when he's in the pocket.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. You know, so that's not the issue. But I would volunteer my golfing ability instead of Brady. I can certainly play better.
Well, you're like them. You give a lot of gimmies. You're very generous with the gimmies.
You are very. But I've seen both of those guys play better. I mean, honestly, they were both in the, and Peyton may have played overall technically a little bit better as far as shots in the fairway, but I was amazed at how many of their drives went left, right, and were unplayable, or just about both of them.
Yeah, well, thank God, by the way. Phil was a little bit left and right, but basically, on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 7. Tiger was a flat-ass 10. I mean, he was right down the middle on almost every shot. He was.
Yep.
I know it was his home course, but, you know, a fairway is a fairway.
Yeah.
And he looked really, really, really good. And I will tell you, the idea, I just played today at the Floridian club, and I my putting was great, largely because, you know, COVID, 6 feet. 6 feet in is good. Why not?
A 6 foot barrier.
Okay, now where do you stand on the little orange sponge at the cup if it goes in and out? I mean, how many? Gracious are you as far as putts?
If it touches that nerf, it's good. I'm sorry, I can't. I guess what Jordan Spieth had one, and then a couple other guys who hit the stupid thing, and then it bounced out. If it's a stupid thing, it's like miniature golf. It's in. I don't care. The only part of it is I'm not. It's a hole in one for me and God and everybody I deal with, but not for purposes of buying anybody drinks.
That's what I guess.
Nice.
Final question for me, Lance Armstrong. Mm-hmm. Nobody seemed after we watched for 5 weeks The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, the 30 for 30 on Lance this weekend. only did less than a million people. It didn't seem like a lot of people were interested, despite the fact that you've named one of your fish after him. Is he just not popular, unlikable, or do we not care about the cycling story at all in America?
Well, he's like my fish. He swims upstream. He tries to do the right thing. Then he veers off at the last minute, and then no one gives a damn.
Yeah.
And so I think the difference was Michael Jordan had a very significant hand in The Last Dance, and you see his humanity, right or wrong, could have shown a negative side. You see Jerry Reinsdorf being a really good guy. You see him really wanting to play baseball. You see his humanity. Lance Armstrong, part of the whole deal with the 30 for 30, but you could see that a lot of it was not genuine, and I think people were ready to see that even before they decided not to watch it.
Okay. Hey, one last question for me, Rick, if I may. You know, obviously you're a Harvard person. You lecture up there. You're close to a lot of things in Boston. Mayor Marty Walsh cancels the 124th Boston Marathon today. Should he have waited? Could he have waited until at least later in July, maybe, and made this announcement? It was scheduled for mid-September. Did he have to do it today?
Yeah, maybe. You know, there are a lot of people that he was listening to that said the qualifying has to happen now, and it's not fair if you qualify and you don't race. Look, I know Tom Grilk, who's the director, and I'm going to try to get him on the air with me. I'm not sure he's willing to talk. I'm sure he's steaming right now.
Yep.
And part of the issue is I would waive all the rules to wait as long as I could to try to make the right decision as late as I could.
Yes.
Because I understand people try to make plans, and it's fair to have people on notice that they're going to have to cancel the last minute. But let's try to wait another month before you do it. And I know maybe he has some science that I don't. And, you know, my daughter is up there at Harvard. She's been really quarantined. By the way, talk about a Duke fan. Her cat is named Shire, which is kind of cool. Shire and Caroline are there, you know, for 11 weeks. And she's starting to feel cabin fever, but everybody is. So I don't know what kind of signal that sends. But, who am I to argue with the health folks? Let's just hope it's a health decision and not a political decision.
Yep. Bingo. Thank you so much for saying that. Yep.
All right, Rick. Stellar performance, as always. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much for coming on.
All right, I'm going to go try to save my fish, pull the needle out from Lance.
All right, good luck with all that. All right.
Great.
See you later, Rick.
See you later, Rick. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's fantastic. Rick Hara, our sports business guru, the sports professor, something like
that. Love what he just said there about the Boston Marathon. I think Mayor Marty Walsh made another big faux pas, one of many.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. All right, good conversation there. If you're just tuning in, yes, Sheeman and Shepard have phones. Again, you can call in at 239-337-ESPN. In fact, when we first got them at, 3.07 p.m.?
3.07 and 22 seconds.
We just went open phones and took like 7, 8, 9 calls in a row, just boom. We'd love to open them up again if you're driving around, heading home, whatever. Would love to hear your voices again. 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. We already heard from Otis, my man Otis, checking in on a regular. That was good. Good to hear his voice again, too. So,
Miami Herald reporter Barry Jackson. Miami football players were summoned to campus for physicals today. Apparently, Canes basketball players were as well.
Yeah.
So, student athletes, the first ones back at the U on campus, per school president Julio Frank and Jim Larinaga, great coach.
Yes.
Miami physical started today. Can workouts be far behind? I hope not. Would love getting in the gym with our guys.
More good news. With nothing but good news today. Just moving forward. Except for MLB. I even mentioned earlier, I'm glad Chris wasn't here today because Premier League announced that they're coming back in 3 weeks. So
the only other, and then real world news, up north in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. The governor 10 minutes ago activated the National Guard.
Well, he needs to. There's riots going on, and it's crazy up there.
Unfortunate.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I am Craig Sheeman here in Estero. Pete Shepherd in Bonita. We got Rick Church on the other side of the glass, spinning the stacks of wax. A lot of
another
classic
great
rock
tune
today. Fantastic, right?
Yes.
Nicely done. Rick will not be with us tomorrow. Chris will be back. And, you know, boy, Chris has had a lot of days off. Today, yesterday, Monday for the holiday, the Friday before that.
But he'll be back just in time to give you your Friday Miley fix.
Yeah, I guess that means Miley Cyrus back to 5 o'clock on
time.
Friday.
Yep. There's a lot going on today, but one thing, I think it's a huge story in college football today. Mm-hmm. About JT Daniels, because Bud Elliott, who's been on the show with us before, he tweeted out because somebody asked him, well, how good is he? Well, he's very good. If he didn't get hurt last year in the opener against Fresno State, this kid would have been the number one quarterback and maybe number one overall player in the class before or after the one he was in. He just happened to be in the same quarterback year as Fields and Lawrence. So the floor is extremely high. He's eligible to play for Georgia this year. And remember, He at USC threw for 2,887 yards, 15 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, completed about 61% of his passes in 12 starts. However, he hurt his knee last year early on in the opener against Fresno State. This guy's a real deal. Georgia's got a stud in this kid. He's going to be eligible to play. And they also got Jamie Newman from Wake Forest, who's also pretty good.
Yeah.
They got him. He's a graduate transfer, so he's eligible too.
I think they got five quarterbacks right now.
They have Stenson Bennett as well. Yep. He's a redshirt freshman and some other guy, too. Carson Beck, who's supposed to be very good as well.
Yep.
But the Bulldogs are, despite, they really have been quarterback year, right, the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Look at the guys that they've started, the guys who have transferred.
Eason had to leave. Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Fields. I mean, they have had quite a few quarterbacks.
But JT Daniels, man, under Kirby Smart, that's going to be because I think he's going to be in the starter. Yeah, that's great news for the Bulldogs.
You know, I agree with
you. Our buddy Jeff Nixon is quite happy.
Yeah, probably is. I am. I think he will be the starter in that group. Who knows? We'll see what the other guys do. But
bad news for more bad news for the Pac-12. You lose a player like that.
I know. Oof. I mean, you could ask yourself, well, why? I could think of a lot of reasons why he would. I mean, USC. I know they won 8 games, but now you can.
Maybe the whole California shutdown thing had something to do with it.
Maybe. Yep. But if you go to Georgia and succeed, I mean, now you've got the potential of being a high draft pick. That used to be the case at Southern Cal. I don't know if that is anymore. I don't. The competition you're facing there in the Pac-12, maybe not.
And let's not remember, too, as I'm looking at the numbers from last year, the guy who replaced JT after he blew out his knee in that win over Fresno State last year, freshman Kedon Slovis took over. He threw for 3,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 9 picks. That probably has something to do with it, too.
Yeah.
That's a damn good season for a freshman.
Yeah, that's true.
18 years old? You kidding me?
Yeah. It's pretty good. All right, so we got all that going on. Some other headlines that we didn't get to today. By the way, we talked about all these contracts earlier, and we talked a lot about Dak Prescott today. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have commenced negotiations. We haven't gotten into that. They're definitely going to hit $40 million. Some people think they could be hitting $50 million per year. I mean, it could be ridiculous. But the earlier they start these negotiations, the cheaper it will be for the Chiefs, in theory. Mm-hmm. So that's
good. Can I go back? I just saw that. Can I just go back to college football real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Iowa AD Gary Barta said today that Iowa is planning to have unrestricted crowds at Kinnick Stadium, where last fall they averaged about 66,000 for games, 20th in the FBS. They also are modeling for reduced capacity crowds, depending on guidelines from the state. Now, remember, Iowa State said yesterday that they were going to open their stadium to fans, but I did not hear their AD say anything about unrestricted crowds. That's for sure.
Iowa unrestricted?
Unrestricted. AD Gary Barta saying today, Iowa is planning to have unrestricted crowds at Kinnick Stadium.
That's fantastic.
Iowa also, but again, they are modeling for reduced capacity crowds also, depending on guidelines from the state.
Keep in mind, way back when, you can go back several weeks, Iowa was one of the first ones on board saying, hey, we're going to be opening up our campus June 1st. And they were the only ones to get our football program going and bring the student-athletes back June 1st. They said this way back like in March or early April. Nobody else was saying this.
Yeah.
And they stuck to the ground. And now they're saying they may even have unrestricted fans in the stands.
Crowds.
It's amazing.
It is.
Wow.
Again, they averaged 65,557 last year. 20th in the FBS.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Fantastic news. All right, don't forget, our phone lines are open. Let's take a couple calls here. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
Thirsty Nick texted his treadmill. Is it done? It looks like a lot of parts over there. I don't know. It's on the text line.
He's still working on it. He's going to be working on it for days.
Oh, no, he said treadmill update. Took 6.5 hours, but look, took this form about 400 pieces and 1,000 screws and washers to a working treadmill.
Congratulations. Job well done. Now you got to go use it, right?
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
Can you play any games on it?
I don't know.
Is it facing the TV?
I don't know if it's a Peloton.
I need distractions on a treadmill.
Yeah, I probably do.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. Sean in the Cape wanting to talk New York Giants. What's going on, Sean? It's open phones since we have phones for the first time in 10 days. Any topic permissible. Sean,
what's
welcome.
Up?
How are you?
What's up, Sean?
It's been 10 days since I've been able to talk to you. It's sad.
Yeah.
I know, man.
I miss talking to you guys.
It's good to hear your voice.
Yep. Yeah. We miss you.
I think we should blame Chris for the phone. Since he's not here, just blame him because it's working when he's not here now.
You might be right. Chris.
True.
We'll blame him for something tomorrow. No doubt about it.
So I'm wondering how the New York Giants offensive line going to do this season, because it's been one of the worst, you know, past few years. And with the new upgrades we've taken from the draft, and I expect at least two or three of them to actually come out in the starting lineup, which I don't think that, I don't see Nate Solder starting. He's probably going to be benched for, you know, as a backup to teach the new rookies that we have to play, you know, and Nate Solder was terrible last year.
Well, so again, speaking of Georgia, I think you got a great one in Andrew Thomas. I mean, I think he's good.
I was watching his highlights. I was watching one of his college highlights. He went against
awesome.
Josh Allen, and he threw Josh Allen across the field. I'm like, wow, this kid's got some talent.
He does. Yeah. He went to Georgia, so he's talented, despite what Craig says.
Maybe to Craig, he's not talented. You know, they can only get, what, 5 wins they're stealing every time he talks about Georgia?
No. They get plenty of wins, way more than 5. Their ceiling is 5. They're very good. They just can't get to great. That's all I've ever said.
And, you know, Nate Solder's still a big question. Nate Solder on the
good. They just can't do great.
True.
That's what it
the Lions?
Like.
The Lions.
Did you say the Lions?
They can do good, but they just can't be great.
The Lions ceiling
what?
Well,
is good. What was good? When's the last time they were good?
No, they were doing good last season until, you know,
until they were 3-13.
No, they won 3 games last year.
They started off good. They started off good. And then
no, they didn't.
The Green Bay game.
They started off with an 18-point blown lead to Arizona and end up in a tie.
That's
they never recovered.
They had a good
Craig,
they had a good start.
Sean, I'd like to back you on this, but I can't.
Craig blames the Green Bay game, the officiating, the local referee
Jeff
from
Rice.
Down here. Jeff
well,
Rice. That threw off the whole season. Yeah.
Well, it helped them with draft picks wise, though.
Well, yeah, that's the silver.
At least.
Yes, that's the silver lining. No doubt about it.
They won something. They won a higher draft pick. So
that's true.
They got a good corner out of that. So.
Yep. So, Sean, how are things in the personal life these days? Things calming down, working in Publix and delivery and all that kind of stuff?
Up chicks in aisle 4?
It's still crazy. I got people still, like, we wipe down the carts outside of our store and everything, and it never fails. Every other hour I come up and someone asks me, is the carts inside clean when they see us push it in when we get done wiping it out? It's the same stupid question every day.
What I would do? Spit on a rag and clean it and just say, yeah, now it is.
You got toilet paper.
The toilet paper's gotten better where we were well supplied for at least like 3 or 4 days on toilet paper.
How's it going with the chicks? And, you know, have you ever gone on a date by somebody picked up at Publix?
Well, remember, after he broke up with a girl, like practically live on this show, like
we exposed that.
Yeah.
We should have been on. Yeah. We should have been on some sort of a show.
Yeah. So things
it's going pretty well right now. I'm in the talks with somebody, so it's going.
All right.
You're in a what?
I'm in the talks right now with someone. So
in talks.
You're in the talks. You sound like Scott Boris.
He's negotiating for a date.
Negotiating, you know.
Well, what does that entail? What do you mean you're in talks?
You know, we're just talking. It's kind of hard to explain. I'm trying to find a way to explain it.
Pull the trigger, man.
Yeah, ask her out. You got to do. You got to close.
Pull the trigger.
You got to close the deal.
That's what I'm trying to do right now.
Look, like, Sean, if you
make sure she doesn't have any other guys on the side, you know, take charge.
No, here's what you
need. I'm already working on that.
Sean, if you ever need our help, of course, to get involved, we'll call. You know, we've done that for you before.
Well, of course.
Of course, that may have been the demise of your relationship last time, but we'll help you out if you need us.
I mean, people were legitimately concerned. I mean, people were really concerned for at least 2 days about you and what happened. Your emotional state was really a concern.
I've been through it before, so it wasn't a first for me at this point. I'm just used to it, you know. It's you know, take it, just get back up, and I'll go find something else.
You're a good guy. Be careful about wearing your heart in your sleeve. That's all. Don't let them take advantage of you.
All right, hang in there, Sean.
Nice. Oh, I won't.
Go get them.
All right, have a good night. Thanks. Good to hear your voice.
You too.
Hey, good to hear everybody's voices today that called in. Now that we got our phones back, opening it for another big Friday tomorrow. It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
How about this stat for you? And, you know, everybody talks about, you know, down here, Tampa Bay, and of course, you know, Brady and Gronk and stuff. And I keep telling everybody who will listen to me about how underrated the Buccaneers defense was last year, particularly the last half of the season. So get this. This is how much they improved. Greg Allman, courtesy of him, just had these stats.
Yes.
Greg's been a friend of the program before a few times from The Athletic. Games 5 through 10 last year. The Bucs defense allowed 20 passing touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Games 11 through 16, 5 passing touchdowns and 6 interceptions. That's a gigantic improvement. And they were, the last 6 or 7 games last year, they were the number one defense in the NFL.
And that's what Jameis.
And it would have been better if dumbass didn't keep throwing 30 interceptions.
And that's what Jameis turning the ball over repeatedly, and they had to go back out on the field all the time.
That's right. Yep.
Very good. I think there's a lot of reason for optimism. I want to get this the season going. They're another team that looks great on paper. I want to see them actually do it now. It'll be fun.
Yep.
All right. I think that just about
Eli Apple,
everything.
By the way, just signed with the Panthers.
Oh, did he really?
Yes.
Let's see. He went Giants, Saints, and then he's very talented, but I think a bit of a pill behind the scenes. That's my assessment of Eli Apple.
Very underused term. I like that, Greg. Pill.
Yeah. You like that.
or the pain in the butt.
Yeah, seems to be. Very difficult person.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll caught up there. The NFL and the owners, they had their votes. They tabled the 4th and 15. And they're saying it's not a precursor to getting rid of kickoff and onside kicks and all that. They said they might experiment with allowing expanded communication between replay assistants in the booth and refs on the field, and yet they don't want to vote on the actual sky ref. So
no,
all right,
not yet. The other big, I think, some pretty big news stories today about the a bunch of minor league baseball players lost their jobs today.
Yes.
On a positive note, we had the Iowa story we just told you about. And out west, Mayor London Breed announced a date. Professional sports can resume in San Francisco, and it's coming up very soon here. And the Texas governor is allowing, which I think is unbelievable news. Greg Abbott, the Texas governor, said today that professional sports stadiums with outdoor seating can resume at 25% capacity starting in June. And what's good news about that is I think it eventually will affect college football, Texas A&M, and Alabama season opener, especially Bama season opener against USC and Arlington. So that's a great thing. Great sign today.
That means at least 25,000 people right there. A&M, gig them, or at AT&T, and open up the roof there and let them play football. And again, I agree with you. I think the numbers could even grow. Coming up tonight, it's our last one of these. If you've enjoyed these, I think they sound great. The greatest games in NFL history presented by Affordable Air and Heat continue tonight. We'll have the 2006 AFC Championship game between Tom Brady's Patriots and Peyton Manning's Colts.
Good game, though.
Yeah.
18-point lead.
The greatest games in NFL history brought to you by Affordable Air. We are affordable online at affordableairconditioningandheating.com. What you got coming up next? Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepard.
What You Got is brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. It's dinner time right now. Head on over there. Get yourself some barbecue ribs, cheeseburger. How about a bacon cheeseburger? 29-degree beer. Nice cold beer. How about that? Head on over to Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, and scenic views. Speaking of hamburger, today's International Hamburger Day. It is National Brisket Day as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. How about that? Some birthdays today, non-sports. Kylie Minogue, singer, 1968. Rudy Giuliani, 1944. As I mentioned earlier, Ian Fleming from James Bond fame, 1908. On this day in 1995, the White Sox and the Tigers combined for 12 home runs. That was a record at the time. May still be. At the old Tiger Stadium. By the way, the Tigers had 7 of the 12 home runs.
Who won?
It didn't say. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember. In 2006, Barry Bonds hit his 715th home run, passing Babe Ruth. They put an asterisk by it. Let's see here. We have some more birthdays. Jerry West, happy birthday. He's 82, born in 1938. Kurt Gibson, one of my favorites.
Yeah,
born
absolutely.
In 1957. Ben Holland, also born, basketball coach, 1957.
Ah,
Glenn Rice. Yeah, Glenn Rice, 1967. Yeah. And Michael Orr, the Blind Side, the real one. Yeah. He was born in 1986, mm-hmm. Just a young pup. How about that? That'll do it. Pete Shepard, what you got?
Well, we missed it this morning. Maybe we'll have it on Sound Street tomorrow. But Damian Lillard went off on ESPN's Dan Orlovsky over his criticism of the NBA star. And the former Lions QB took the heat so hard, he issued an apology within minutes of the rant. He shouldn't have if he didn't feel that way. So Lillard said earlier this week, as we know, we'd sit out NBA games this summer for Portland if the league didn't provide the Trailblazers a true opportunity to make the playoffs. Right. So Orlovsky took issue with those comments on today on Get Up, ripped the Portland superstar for coming off as spoiled and entitled. When Lillard got word of the name-calling, he didn't hold back, taking aim at Orlovsky on social media. Quote, entitled and spoiled, MF, watch your mouth. My background and family and character couldn't be further from entitled and spoiled. I said what I said. He didn't stop there, though. He bashed Orlovsky for being a career backup, saying, you sat out your whole career, basically. And then Dan was quick to backpedal off his comments, writing back to Lillard, quote, no, you're right. I was wrong to use that phrase at the end. That's my bad. Mm-hmm. My comments started with saying, hope we all realize nothing is meaningless anymore. And if it's about protecting loved ones 100%, I shouldn't have said entitled or brat. And that's on me and my bad.
Oh, very good. So we're all good? Or do we not accept apologies anymore in this world?
No, he didn't. Yeah, Lillard did not. He said, go back on TV with real Skip Bayless and tell all those viewers that.
Hmm. Okay.
Because he's not on that network, though.
I just saw, right as we were coming out of break, Dan Orlovsky was trending like number 3 on Twitter. I'm like, That's why. Yeah. Okay. I like Damian Lillard. By the way, Damian Lillard says he's all for the new proposal if they have, like, you know, play-in games and all that, or, you know, for the final 4 seeds or whatever. Yeah. Last 4 in, first 4, whatever the hell they're going to do. I don't know.
Well, yeah, the last for this, because it is that last 4. Maybe we can get into that tomorrow because we didn't get to that topic today, but an interesting scenario about should, you know, we let 20 teams in.
Yeah. Okay. Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Any final thoughts today?
You know, not really, but I got to tell you, over the last 4 hours, I've just really kind of learned that I just am getting really kind of sick of Major League Baseball, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I know Pete and I have talked about this before, you know, growing up when I was a kid, man, baseball was my world.
Right.
It was my sport. And, you know, I mean, we've talked about a lot of things wrong with the games, but now, you know, just like this Boris memo and Max Scherzer, shut your fat mouth, you know, like hundreds of kids lost basically their dreams and their hopes today because baseball is just trying to save money. And who was that Rays pitcher a couple of weeks ago?
Blake Snell.
Just shut up. Okay. It's baseball just kind of making my skin crawl lately, you know, like you said, and with every other sport progressing nicely, baseball in classic MLB form is going backwards. Way to go, guys.
Yeah, you're right. And you're not alone.
They won't survive this time. It took them a decade to survive 94, and I'm telling you, they're going to be – that sport will be in serious –
big time.
Serious trouble. As passionate Red Sox guy as I am, man, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, the sport is in big trouble anyway, and this ain't going to help.
Nope.
Yep.
Sorry,
hockey,
they're not
the
on
NBA,
a bummer.
College football, you got hockey, NBA, college football, and NFL playing in the summer possibly, or some sort, and they're going to be – they're not playing. It's a horrible look.
Yep, no doubt about it. On that note, we'll close it out. We got a fun Friday tomorrow. More phones are back. We're very excited about that. Rick Church, stellar job the last 2 days. Thank you very much. Chris will be back tomorrow for Pete Shepard. I'm Craig Sheeman. Kudos to me. Thanks for listening. Good night, Southwest Kudos Florida, and God bless America and the world.
Thank God for me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.